Warning, the following audio transmission will forever change your outlook on society. You will no longer believe the narrative. You are about to wake up and see things for what they really are. News, facts, and opinions. This is the Doom Daily Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Doom Daily Show. Today is Sunday, April 21st. Time is 19:26. For you, it's Monday. It's Monday morning. And I'm sure you're having a lovely car ride to work, sipping your coffee, or maybe you work from home. And you're sitting there waking up, making your coffee, and you've got me on in the background, you know, and kids are running around the house. Things are crazy. You might want to shoo them out of the room because there is some profanity on this show. Just a fair warning. So I hope you all had a great weekend. I hope you made it through the weekend, right? Things are getting crazier in this world. And it seems like, I don't know how it is for most people, but I'm pretty goal-oriented. Like I'm always wanting to accomplish something and do something, and I'm wanting things to be better. And this weekend was one of those kind of weekends where it all kind of got pre-focused on other things, and I really didn't get to do the things I wanted to do. For those of you that don't know, once a month, me, myself, and the other participants in the event called Prep Stock have a monthly meeting. Pretty much last Sunday of the month, we all sit down together and have a meeting, and we were trying to shoot for this Sunday, but that did not work. Okay, everybody was busy, they had stuff going on, which is, I'm expecting this to be kind of a thing that happens as we get into, you know, the summertime and longer days and better weather and stuff like that. Anyway, the email, doomdailyshow@gmail.com. Guys, you know I'm everywhere on social media, @JesterDooms. You can find me everywhere out there. So, my weekend consisted of getting off Friday night. After work, I did a nice little lovely live on Clapper. And we hung out, we had drank some wine, and we talked some Prep Stock stuff, and woke up early in the morning and went to a training, okay? Went to do some training till about noon, got home maybe about 1, jumped in the car and drove a state away to go look at a used car that I wanted. I did not get the car because the salespeople pissed me off. The long and the short of this is, I'm not going to pay sticker price for a vehicle. I don't care if it's a new vehicle or used vehicle. I'm not going to do it. In order for me to sleep easy at night, I need to feel like I got a deal. Plus, I know it's their job to make money, so they start with a high markup and then they work down. So for me, it's kind of one of these situations where, like, I know you have room to play. And instead of playing the game with me or negotiating back and forth with me or anything else, they proceeded to just talk down to me and be very disrespectful and basically tell me I didn't know what I was looking at and you're kind of an idiot. And I'm like, yeah, even if you called me tomorrow and said, we're going to take more money off the car if you'll still want it, I would flat out say, no, I'm not going to buy the car from you because I don't like the way you talk to me. I don't like the way I was treated. You will not get my business. Now, I don't care if the car was free. I don't want it. It started out with dealing with one sales guy, me telling him, hey, this isn't going to work, him sending in another sales guy, and me taking the paper and saying, I'll do this, this, and this. If you can do that, we have a deal. If not, I'm walking. And I said, I'm not the kind of guy that's going to walk out to the car and hope you come get me and come back in here. Like, no, once I'm out that door, I am not coming back. I'm gone. Because once I get up from this seat, I've made a decision. I'm not buying this car. So you're going to start working with me here. There's no need for me to be here. That's just it. So he sends in the general manager at that point, which came on way too strong, was way too in your face, way too aggressive, way too, hey, you're stupid. You don't know what you're buying. And it got to the point where I really wanted to start arguing with this guy, but I maintained composure. And I was like, you know what, dude? Okay, look, like, we're not going to make a deal. My kids have been here long enough. Like, we got to go. Like, we're not buying this car, man. That's it. And we left. And I, even if they called back, like, I called him back and said, hey, would you like to buy the car? No, I do not want to buy the car. I would not want to buy the car from you. Absolutely not. So, long and the short of it is, after that, got back here. We went to dinner. We went to Cheddar's Scratch Kitchen, which I haven't been to one of those in years. And I got to say, I wasn't impressed. I went to them years ago in the state of Florida, and I feel like their menu was way better in Florida than it was the state we went to. And I'm just not, I wasn't happy with it. I was really impressed with them before. And maybe, I don't know, it felt like being in a TGI Fridays with shitty TGI Fridays food kind of thing. So came back, did another live on Clapper that night in order to try to promote prep stock. We didn't get very far with that though. Anyway, did a lot of prep stock and stuff today. Trying to get those numbers up. If those of you guys that are out there listening to the show and you have bought tickets for prep stock, www.prepstock.net is the place you're going to find all the information. Listen very carefully. As I'm recording this episode right now, in this moment, there are only eight, count them, eight tent camping sites available where we're having the event. There's only eight left. Every one of them has been booked out. This event's not taking place till October. That's how on top of this event people are. Okay, you've only been able to book your sites for 10 days and there's eight left, right? So people are on top of this. They're getting it done, which is why I'm sitting here kind of thinking to myself, when I record next Monday's episode, there might only be three left, or there might not be any left. So if you guys are really serious about coming out here, and if you're really serious about going to this event and you do want to camp there, you need to get on top of getting those campsites. They're $26 a night, I believe, is what they are on the camping website. So guys, get on it, get it done. That's not a big expense. Just get it knocked out and get it over with while you still can, because they're going to be gone. And here's the reality. If somebody cancels and those open back up, great, but I don't think they're going to. If they were that adamant about getting those campsites that quick, they're for sure going. That's all it is. Anyway, I know bills are hard, and I know there's a lot of expenses out there, and we're going to talk about that right after these messages.
Want to advertise on the Doom Daily Show? Send producer Scooter an email, doomdailyshow@gmail.com, and this 15-second ad slot could be yours.
So for those of you that don't know, I kind of suck when it comes to remembering when bills are due, and my wife kind of sucks at it too, unless we get an email notification saying, hey, there's been a payment missed, or hey, you have a bill that's coming up due. We always forget, right? Like we always do. I love email reminders for bills. I love direct debit to make payments, like the automatic withdrawal features. I love that, okay? I love not having to worry about it. I love it. Does it on its own. If I go in my bank account and there's $200 missing, oh, okay, yeah, that was a payment that was due. Okay, cool. No problem. So I say this to say that today my internet company started blowing me up, and I'm really bad at paying the internet, which is crazy because I spend so much of my life on the internet making content, doing these shows and stuff like that. You think that would be the thing that I would make sure gets paid? I also ran my own internet lines on this property. So again, I've put a lot of time and effort into the internet and use the internet a lot. You would think that, I'd be on top of that bill, but I'm not. It's always paid 3 months late. And what ends up happening is they start calling. And when I see the number for the carrier pop up, I'm like, oh shit, that bill's due. And I'll put it off till the next day or whatever. I'll put it off. And I actually looked today. It's all automated. You call in there. They got my card on file, all that good stuff. And I looked at the timer on my phone. It literally only takes 2 minutes to pay that bill. That's it. 2 minutes, I'm off the phone. It's done. It's paid. I don't even have to get my wallet out because the card's already on file. It is the easiest bill I have to pay, but it is the one that's the most pain in the ass to pay because I always forget about it. There's no email notification saying, hey, your payment's due or blah, blah, blah. You know, it is what it is. You know, it's just one of those things we always forget about, or we're always like, we'll do it later, then we forget, you know. And my wife and I started getting into a conversation about this is, you know, I told her, I was like, you know, sweetheart, I really wish that we paid for things more on a quarterly basis, or more like an every 6 month basis, or more of like a, you know, yearly basis. Like, can I pay my internet bill quarterly? You know, can we start doing like bills that are due every 90 days versus every 30 days? Could we do like 6 months at a time or 1 year at a time kind of things, you know? And it really kind of got the wheels turning in my head, and I figured out why we don't do that. Number one reason why we don't do that is that we are so overwhelmed with expenditures in this day and age that we need bills to be every 30 days so they are affordable, and it doesn't seem like you're spending so much money, which brings me to the second thing here. The second reason that these companies do 30-day billing is so they can make an expense seem cheaper, right? So if you make an expense seem cheaper, it doesn't seem that big because you're like, oh, it's, you know, it's just 10 bucks a month. That's no big deal. Then you're like, oh man, that's 120 bucks a year. And then it's like, you realize that, you know, 120 bucks a year over the course of 2 years is $240. So when it comes to something like, you know, like a Netflix account, a Hulu or a Spotify or something like that, if you're buying like whatever it is, 10 bucks a month ends up adding up as time goes on. And you're like, man, I'm paying this much over the course of 5 years just to listen to music? Shit. Or just to, you know, binge watch a series over and over again? Shit. Like, I've got Hulu, and they sent me a notification saying I needed to change my payment method. I don't know if my card that was on file is expired and needs updated, or I don't know. I looked at my wife and I was like, are you using the Hulu at all? And she's like, no. And I was like, well, I'm thinking about just letting it get canceled. She says, why? I was like, I'm not really watching it. I was like, I'm literally just binge watching the TV series Rescue Me again that I've already seen. I'm just watching it to occupy boredom to fall asleep at night, you know, and that's it. And I said, other than that, the only other time I'm really utilizing Hulu is when American Horror Story puts out something new, or I want to go back and binge watch all those old seasons around like Halloween, you know, and that's the only reason I have it. I'm paying monthly for it. I'm like, I could probably just cancel this, save the money, buy the handful of series of American Horror Story that I want on DVD and just have those, right? And then boom, if things ever go to shit and we don't have internet anymore, I'll have some DVDs to pop in to occupy boredom, you know. And then it's also a one-time expense, not a continuously monthly purchase. So I'm like, you know, that's something that maybe needs to get canceled because of what it adds up to, all right? Now, the third reason that I think we do this 30-day billing cycle is so they can apply more late fees to accounts. So companies, credit card companies, these different bill pays that go out for, you know, your power bill, or a lot of these things come with late fees when you don't pay them on time. So if you were paying quarterly, that's 4 late fees you could have a year. Right now, they can do 12. You get what I'm saying? So these companies make a lot of money in late fees because they know that people are busy. They forget about bills. They get frustrated with things and forget to send these payments in. So boom, they get to hit you with a $30 late fee. So if we paid quarterly, they're losing potentially like 8 late fees a year. And they don't want that. They want those late fees. That's how they make their money. So this every 30-day bill pay thing is a big-ass scam on the American people and on people around the world. Like, this every 30-day shit, you make a payment, and if you don't, you know, we're going to hit you with a late fee so we could suck all these late fees up as you have interest occurring. If it's like a credit card payment or whatever, they don't care. Listen, how much sense does it make, okay? You have a credit card. You're paying interest on the money you borrowed already, so they're already making money off you, right? So if there's a late fee, that means you didn't pay that bill, which means it didn't go down, which means they're earning more interest. And then they hit you with a late fee on top of it. You got to be fucking kidding me. This is why I don't use my credit card, right? Like, I've got decent credit. I've got a fair amount of credit cards like that have zero, you know, there's a high available open line of credit on these cards, but I maintain a zero balance on these cards because I think credit cards are bullshit. I keep the credit cards in the event of an emergency and I need them. Or if I'm like, you know what, I want my credit to look good, let me make a purchase and then quickly pay this off so I could show some utilization to keep the cards open, stuff like that, because they will shut them down if they're not used for a time, or they'll reduce your credit line or something like that. So I do that. But this is a big scam on the American people. So I'm going to go ahead and say, if you guys have the option to change things to quarterly payments, payments every 6 months, once a year payments, if you have the opportunity to do that, do it. If you're financially capable of doing that, do it. Because we all make mistakes and we all forget to pay these little bills. And when these things pop up and, you know, they just go right out the window, or they get lost in the junk mail, or they might not show up, or, you know, your kids grab the mail and they accidentally throw a bill away. And then you're like, well, shit, now I got to pay this. Well, that's 8 times less likely to happen if you're paying quarterly, right? Are you picking up what I'm putting down? Is that making sense to you guys? Anyway, I hope it does. We got to fix this scam on the American people. We'll be right back after these messages.
Can't get enough of Jester Dooms? Check out his other show, It's Doomsday Podcast, available on all podcast platforms. That's It's Doomsday Podcast.
Back to the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We're getting poor while the leaders of Ukraine and other areas around the world are getting rich. If you guys didn't see, the House passed another aid bill for Ukraine in the tune of $95 billion. $95 billion. Man, listen, I got to tell you, I know before that we were in the tune of about $75 billion that's already went over there. So I'm sitting here, you know, kind of casually thinking to myself, like, what would I do if I had that kind of money? And you couldn't spend that much money in a lifetime. I mean, it'd be very difficult to do, right? I mean, you really got to think about this aid that's going over there being funded by the American taxpayers, where that money's actually going to, whose pockets are being lined. And then, man, does it screw you up to think about the idea that we only sent about a little over 300 million down to Maui for the fires and stuff. And I'm like sitting here watching all this money leave our country to go help other nations, knowing that shit's not getting done here at home and we're all in debt. And it's like, you know, I'm not, like, we've talked about the student loan thing, okay? I'm for it and I'm against it. It depends on circumstance of why you yourself are in debt, why you yourself need these loans paid back. You know, did you get screwed by the loan companies? Did you find out your university was not accredited? Did your career field expire? Did somebody wrong you to where your loans getting paid back should be justified type thing? But I'm looking at this money that's going out for this, and I'm like, so much student loan debt could have been paid off. So many homeless people could be off the street. We could hire so much more. We could hire so many more law enforcement officers to start handling the drug problem. We could put up so much fencing along the borders of this country and start securing it. The places that money could go, it's insane. And we just keep pumping it over there. Just pump it over, pump it over, pump it over. Send them the money. Can't do shit about the cost of gas in this country, but we could keep sending money overseas. Is anybody pissed off about this yet? When you sit there and think that, you know, they're at war, they need the aid, why is that our responsibility? First off, why is that our responsibility? Because we are buying a shit ton of Chinese products in this country, and they're funding the other side. So essentially, the U.S. taxpayers are funding both sides of this war. Isn't that fucked up? And then you think to yourself, like, oh yeah, you go to work and the government takes your money, and then they utilize that money to fund both sides of a war that we shouldn't even be involved with in the first place. And then you start to think that, man, gas sucks and my student loans suck and this expense sucks and housing's going up and this and that. And there's no help for the American people. But goddamn if the government won't take your money and fund both sides of a war. That's freaking crazy. But, you know, who am I? What do I know? It's fine. You know, let them keep doing their thing. But I know maybe I'm speaking out of turn here, but the American people are pissed. I know they are. Even if you voted for some of these clowns that are in office, even if you're like, yes, Ukraine needs the aid, there's no, I can't see one logical person out there seeing the tax money that comes out of their check, seeing the price of gas at the pump, and then being okay with us sending all this money to Ukraine. And you know what's crazy? If we got into a war with Russia and they simply plastered across the TV screen like, hey, we are out of funding for Ukraine and we're going to try to save the taxpayers some money by just going over there and fighting for them, most of these morons would be like, that's a great idea, Joe. Like, that's what they would do. They would be all for it. And that absolutely blows my mind. This amount of money that's going and being sent over there is insane. All right. And for the life of me, I don't know who is out there justifying this money, how, you know, saying this is okay to spend this. and this is what they really need. And then they're just, are they just wiring over their funds? Like, hey, man, check your account. It should have about $95 billion in it. Oh, thanks, man. All right, well, we'll hit you up in 6 months because we're probably going to need some more. Are you fucking kidding me? At this point, now check this out. I'm not crazy when I say this. At this point, it may have been better to buy Ukraine a new fucking country, all right? Buy them an island somewhere. Buy them their own country and then pay to move all their people out of Ukraine and just be like, Putin, you could have it. It's cheaper, man. Like, just take the fucking territory. Take the land. It's yours. We're done. We're going to move all these people to some nice tropical island somewhere and they could live their lives there and, you know, whatever. And if there's people that want to stay, let them stay. But at this point, like, where's the end of this? Is there an end for it? I don't think there is. I don't think the end of this funding for them is going to be in the foreseeable future. Anyway, we'll be right back after these messages.
Prep Stock is happening this October. Go to www.prepstock.net for more information. Prep Stock is the ultimate survival event. That's prepstock.net for all information and updates.
Ladies and gentlemen, the House has passed the TikTok ban. Man. And people are getting pretty fired up about it. They're really worried and they're really scared that, you know, they're going to lose their following, the incomes they're deriving from TikTok, all these other things. Now, me personally, I don't give a shit. Ban it. I don't care. I absolutely cannot stand TikTok. I hate TikTok with a passion. And I hate TikTok with a passion for a few different reasons. So there is a conspiracy side to this. And I had, so basically the conspiracy side, to make it very short, I heard someone tell me years ago when TikTok first started getting big that the Chinese were utilizing geotagging along with videos to start mapping out the internals of buildings and homes throughout the U.S. So they will geotag, they'll find out what house you're in, and they'll see you walking around and they're making your little videos on TikTok, and they'll be like, okay, this guy has a couch and a chair in his living room. Okay, this guy has two bathrooms in this house. And they're actively doing this. And then the conspiracy went kind of along the lines of, you know, the Chinese are actually shopping for your house, for their houses that they want. So they're looking at houses on Google Maps with the geotagging, and you're showing them around the inside with your TikTok account so they can get a sense of like, yeah, I want that house. I think I want that one. Like, that's what they're doing. They're actively shopping for properties. And this is just one aspect of the TikTok. Along with coming into your home and seeing what you're up to, seeing what's going on. Would you be a threat? How hard would you be to take out in the event that they needed to do that? Things like that. So that's the one side of me hating this. And you could say to yourself, hey, Jester Dooms, look, dude, that's kind of like the lesser of two evils when it comes to the data breaching. And you could be right. You could 100% be right. And that's fine. See, what I also hate about TikTok is somebody who was on TikTok building a following, promoting the podcast and doing all these things. I saw my videos get taken down and get banned for things that were absolutely asinine, that, you know, said it was some vague community guidelines violation where not a thing was wrong. And they just, you know, pulled these things down. And there's nobody to talk to. There's nobody to be like, hey, I think somebody misinterpreted this video. And then, you know, you work so hard to gain that following and then they just screw you and ban your account or whatever. And this is the crazy thing about this, okay? TikTok needs people on there to put out videos so they have content so they can make money, okay? So you make TikTok is built on the back of the user and that's who they treat like shit. And that's what pisses me off probably the most, which is why I'm on other social media platforms and I'm not so big on the TikTok. All right. But you got to think about the idea that people have made a living off of TikTok. You know, some of these guys have quit their jobs. Some of these creators, this is all they know now. So some of them are doubling down, like they have a large TikTok following. They make money from doing live events over there. They might have things that they promote, like all these different affiliate deals. And then maybe they utilize these TikToks to promote their like OnlyFans pages where they're making a ton of money. Things like that. So these people, in the event of a ban, they're going to get screwed. And I'm a firm believer that TikTok's not going to get banned. It's going to get rebranded by U.S. ownership. And I think that's, I think underlying here, there's people in the U.S. that are saying your data is going overseas to China, and this is a big security risk. And it is. Because whenever you have soldiers making TikToks from the inside of military installations, that's bad. Whenever you have people that work within government agencies, say police officers, fire rescue, whoever, is making videos from inside of the station or inside of their vehicles or showing, you know, the inside of these buildings that, you know, if there was a war, things that they would need to secure right away, or doing videos about our critical infrastructure, or, you know, things of this nature, it does become a risk. It absolutely does. But it also is a big risk to the American leaders' pockets, because they see how much money is getting sent overseas to China. So whenever you gift somebody on TikTok, TikTok takes a percentage of your money. You pay them, they turn your money into their point system, diamonds or hearts or whatever it is. I can't remember exactly on TikTok, all right? And then what they do is they then gift that user a portion of what the other user paid in. So the creator is going to get a small payout after TikTok takes their chunk. And that money is just going overseas. All right. And there's millions of people doing this. I'll have to look up and figure out exactly how much money is made in a day on the TikTok. Producer Scooter, if you know that answer, go ahead and drop it in there.
Jester, TikTok generated a whopping $44 million a day in revenue for the fiscal year of 2023.
They are making a shit ton of money, and it's all going overseas. It's not going into American politicians' pockets, and that's probably why they're pushing for the ban, along with how quickly information can spread. So, we've talked about this before, the amount, like how they can't control TikTok and how they can't keep a video from going viral necessarily if they don't want it to, if they don't catch it in time, things like this, and how fast all the information can get out there about a subject they might not want you talking about, all right? And what's really funny is there's different areas of things that have become completely ungoverned. Like, go ahead and listen to, like, some Sirius XM talk radio. Totally ungoverned. Go ahead and find your local talk radio shows on your regular FM radio in your car. And you'll see how ungoverned all that is compared to, say, TikTok or Facebook or any of these online places where it's basically, it's not the FCC controlling this. It's the CEOs at, like, Google Play who don't want a certain message going out. So they're shutting people down and not letting certain messages get out. And they're forcing these platforms like, you know, Meta and different platforms to control this narrative. And they're simply saying, you do what we say or we're taking you out of the Play Store, because the Play Store is kind of a private thing. The App Store is kind of a private thing. If you want to play, if you want your app in there, if you want to make that revenue and generate that money being in our App Store, you're going to be good little boys and girls and do exactly what you're told. So my other show has been pulled from YouTube before, and that's cool. Other places have let it ride. But I've never heard an episode on the radio come down. I've never, like, tuned into a talk radio station and heard the FCC blur that out. Like, I've never had that happen. So what I'm saying is there's still entities out there that are ungoverned. Right now, TikTok is ungovernable. Unless it goes against their narrative, then they'll work on that. You'll get banned, you'll get shut down, etc. So that's a big part of this. So I guarantee you, what we're probably going to see is not a TikTok ban, but a TikTok rebranding under U.S. ownership, where the U.S. starts making the money off this. Okay. And then the U.S. will start regulating it how they see fit. Or something will happen where, like, you know, some offshoot tech company will come in and buy that up, or someone like Musk will come in and buy it up. But it won't be someone like Musk. It'll be somebody that wants to control the narrative. That's what'll happen. And be crazy. It'll just be crazy. And it'll be this thing that's highly regulated. And, you know, it'll end up being a situation where you post a video, and it'll take, like, the processing time will be outrageous because someone will have to go back and watch that video to make sure it's approved for the platform. Like, you'll start having, like, a 24-hour turnaround on TikTok videos. Some bullshit like that. And that's crazy. So if you ever had a video, I posted videos on TikTok before that were instantaneously taken down. And then I had to appeal, and the appeals took like 24 to 48 hours for the appeal to go through, because someone actually had to physically go and watch it. And that shit takes time when you have millions of videos going up every day. There are TikTok videos you have never seen and you never will see, because that platform is that big. They're not going to shut it down. They can't shut it down. It's too big to fail. It will work. It will kill the economy to an extent. And they know that. So they will rebrand it, and it'll be up, and it'll be highly regulated, and the Chinese will no longer receive that income. But anyway, until Tuesday morning, until tomorrow, guys, have a great day at work. The email, doomdailyshow@gmail.com. Like, share, and subscribe. Follow me everywhere on social media, @JesterDooms. Scooter, babe, I'm out of here.
Well, I'm glad you didn't fall in a hole.
News, facts, and opinions. This is the Doom Daily Show.